Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, of course, from the kitchen, it is a good evening to you and how you be at 8:02 on a Monday evening right here on your Fan New York City. Steve Summers here and you there. On the other side of the kitchen at 345 Hudson, Paulie Rosenberg. And no, from the 1-877-337-6666. And from right here, it'll be another four-hour schmooze right up until Sal Licata. And Sal coming your way at 12 right here on your Fan New York City, but coming your way right now, audio and video and print, is John Harper. And we know from SNY and so many other places. John, thanks for a couple of minutes. Hope you and the family healthy and safe and sound as can be.
Yeah, doing well, Steve. How are you?
Well, we're doing all right, thank goodness. And here's what I want to start with. We just had a call, Lou from Astoria, who was talking about the expletives, the swearing that was going on from certain fans. And we know about certain fans at Yankee Stadium that were throwing things and so forth and so on, just the kind of behavior that nobody really wants at any ballpark, anywhere, at any time. Do we know if the Yankees have found out who those folks were throwing things, and even those who were around women, children, and men? Let's face it, with the offensive language, do we know if anything that the Yankees have done to find those people and to eliminate them from going to any more games?
I really don't have a lot on that, Steve. I just was told at some point they were going to look into it, but I haven't followed up on it. And I'm not sure. I haven't seen what anybody else has either. But, yeah, I can understand where, I mean,
right,
fans who saw that and were around that have the right to be upset. I mean, that shouldn't go on at the ballpark. I mean, going to the ballpark should be a pleasant experience, especially these days. And that's the last thing you want.
Oh, sure. And no question about it. Let me, with the Yankees over the weekend, certainly highlighted by the Cy Young game on Saturday with Scherzer and Kluber. And even though Scherzer was certainly dominating with his 14 strikeouts, the Yankees end up winning the game. And you could almost argue they didn't need necessarily so the long ball. They could do it with walks and singles and little 50-foot infield hits even to win games and sweep the series against the Nationals. So the Yankees, whether intended or not, can win with some small ball.
Yeah, lately they've been a little bit better with that, getting hits in key spots, which they weren't doing early in the year. I mean, they're gonna have to slug to win the division. But yeah, I mean, that's usually in October. That's a lot of times that's what win games for you, getting those timely hits, and that's what's kept them from moving on. You know, that game Saturday, it actually kind of reminded me of the old days when they would hang in there. I mean, Scherzer was dominant, but the way they would hang in there when they were facing Pedro Martinez,
right,
and because they were getting their own good pitching, they would take it to the late innings, somehow find a way to win in the late innings, even though Pedro's striking out whatever, how many, what Scherzer had 14, I think, something like that. So it's a good sign, I think. And I think even more important than the hitting is that they are getting pitching behind Gerrit Cole now, and Kluber and Taillon and Herman. I really think over the long haul, that's going to be the key, because they're going to hit enough during a regular season. Then every year you get to October, and they got to find a way to get timely hits, because that has been a major issue.
It's been a rough time, a rough stretch for Judge. He was benched a game and was striking out quite a bit. I think he had 7 consecutive strikeouts in 2 games, and he has been struggling a little bit. And maybe that base hit down the right field line off the end of his bat, you know, maybe that's a sign or a signal that put the ball in play as best you can, being the home run hitter that he is, and with the launch angle and with exit velocity, that's all the talk you get with him and with Stanton. And yet the two of them were producing over the weekend with some small ball kind of singles that may get them going. And Stanton, of course, let's face it already, he might actually get to the point where Yankee fans are glad he's on the team, John.
For a little while, Steve, we'll see. Yeah, this is when Stanton, I don't think I've seen him this hot as a Yankee. You kind of used to see him in these kind of streaks when he was with the Marlins. He's really dangerous, we know. I mean, overall, I've kind of been down on the whole thing, bringing him in here, because I felt like it prevented the Yankees from doing other things. And he's even, in the long haul, he's more of a mistake hitter than anything else. And he's got to prove he can get it done against good pitching in October, which he hasn't. But when he's this hot, man, he is fun to watch, because, yeah, everything comes off his bat, whether it's line drive, ground ball, or, a launch into the seats for a home run, it comes off so hard. It's unreal. Judge has surprised me a little bit. Watching him as he's come along over the years, I always thought he was a better hitter than Stanton, just in terms of being able to hit good pitching, not be fooled as much by the off-speed stuff and the breaking stuff. But he's been in this little, I guess it's a slump, but I keep waiting for him just to go on this tear like Stanton, where he just hits everything in sight, because he's got a good eye. I mean, I think he takes too many pitches and it takes too many borderline pitches, but he's so able to take the ball the other way kind of effortlessly when he's in a groove, that I just expect him to go off on one of these tears as well. And I still expect him, if he can stay healthy, to have another year where he's in the MVP race and maybe win an MVP. But he hasn't quite looked right this year, and maybe he'll get it going soon.
And do you think Torres is coming around?
I do, yeah. I mean, I thought that was sort of important at bats over the weekend, and that kind of started kind of almost like you were talking about, with more of a little ball put in play, where he just hit the ball off the end of the bat and managed to win a game that way. And then he had the base running play where the little league play where he stole second and third, or he stole third and home because of the overshift in that game. And then you could almost see him feeling better about himself. And then he finally hits the home run. It looks like, and the same thing talking to scouts, they think it's almost like he's been trying to hit home runs, opening up too quick and leaving himself vulnerable to, breaking stuff away. But he's too good of a hitter with him as well. You expect him to get it going. But you can kind of see where he's gaining confidence. And maybe I think the defense, all the defensive stuff, hurt his confidence early. He's playing a little bit better shortstop. He's never going to be great there, but I think he's okay. And he's going to make some errors. And then you just hope for the Yankees that if you do get into the postseason with him there, that one of those errors isn't a key spot where it really hurts you, because he can make the plays for the most part, but he's going to make some errors.
Yeah, and the thing is, the base running you point out and the hitting, and he seems, as you allude to, seems to be coming around. What is your thought about where guys are going to be within the lineup? Hicks, for so long, batting number 3, they've moved him around. They've moved others around. You don't get the same lineup every single day. Now, you don't have continuity that way. Players are maybe not going to know where they are going to bat when they get to the ballpark. Bottom line is, what is your thought about where guys are batting within that lineup?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the moves they've made have been because they try to get a left-handed hitter in there somewhere. They just don't have enough good left-handed hitters. You know, that's why Hicks hits higher than he probably should be. And Gardner, you know, earlier was hitting in the three spot because they want to break up all the righties. But I think their best lineup is just putting their best hitters in there, righty or lefty, because the lefties just, you know, I mean, that is one thing missing from this team. Now they have Ford in there at times, but Voit's coming back, and when Voit back in there, you're not going to see Ford at first base. So I think I would stack the righties. The best hitters you got, you know, you got Stanton, Judge, Torres, and Voit in some of that order, the top five hitters or so behind LeMahieu, and take your chances because, you know, Cashman built this team on the belief that these right-handed hitters could hit right-handed pitching and take it the other way, use the right field porch even as right-handed hitters, no matter what the kind of pitching they were facing. So, to me, put your best hitters in there. And let's go. I think that's the way the Yankees are built.
So if somebody like Judge is struggling, are you going to leave him at the top of the lineup? Are you going to leave him batting number two? Or are you going to move him down? And if you do move him down in the lineup, do you think that would bother him, affect him in any way from performing?
I think he's a guy who gets it. You know, he's a guy who's mature beyond his years. He's been that way since he got to the big leagues. I think he would accept it if he's really going bad and you feel like it would be beneficial to him maybe as well as the team, then I think you do it. I mean, we saw with the Mets dropping Conforto early in the year when he was struggling. So I think Judge could handle that. I don't think he's there yet, but I kind of like the idea of him hitting behind Stanton. I think actually it's benefited Stanton because Stanton's been in that two spot more than Judge. So you get Voit back, though, you get another power guy in one of those positions, and I think it benefits everybody. But there's no reason not to do that if it gets to the point where Boone thinks it's affecting the team, because I think Judge can handle it.
You mentioned Voit. Is he going to be activated on Tuesday?
It sounds like it. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like he's about ready. He's been playing in the minor league games over there, and yeah, they could use him for sure, because I'm really, really curious to see how he comes off that last year leading the majors in home runs, I guess. Is he really that guy? Can he do that over 162? And if so, you know, how much better does this make that lineup? Because that is some gauntlet than the pitchers have to run to get through the middle of that order.
And he led the American League in the shortened season last year with the 22. That he had. And what about Odor? And is he going to be back anytime soon? Because coming over from Texas, and Texas just left him out, you know, for naught. I mean, he was home opening day, wasn't even in the dugout, not on the roster, nothing. And they couldn't wait to get rid of him, and it appeared he had lost his game. And yet he comes over to the Yankees. He's had big hits.
He has had big hits, but I'm not sure where he fits if Voit is back, because you got to move LeMahieu back to second unless Urshela, this injury with Urshela continues to be an issue. I think they're better off LeMahieu at second and Voit at first. I mean, Odor, he has had some big hits, but he's not great defensively, and there's a reason that, you know, he kind of had played his way out of Texas, because he hasn't been great the last few years. Sometimes guys, you know, find something when they go to a new spot, and maybe he's inspired by being a Yankee. But I think they're probably better off with him as more of a utility-type guy filling in, coming off the bench as a hitter you could use off the bench.
And look up in the sky, John. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it is Clint Frazier leaving his feet on more than one occasion we've seen to make a spectacular catch in left field, but having his struggles at the plate.
Yeah, it's really weird. You keep thinking, you know, that he's going to get over that hump and just be a guy that produces consistently with the bat, and he really hasn't done it. I know they don't stick with him and give him the chances to stay in there when he's going bad necessarily, but I would like to see him get that chance, because, you know, you see the bat speed, you see the potential, and you'd like to see it come together for him. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. Maybe he's going to be that one of those guys where it never quite works, and he's going to end up being a, more of a part-time player than a guy who's going to, you know, I mean, I think they think he still has that potential to be a star, but he just hasn't been able to do it consistently.
And Andujar, I mean, they were trying him at the alternate site, and then in a couple of games, I know they were trying to see if he could play first, and we've seen that, and then the outfield. And certainly if Urshela is okay, certainly not going to be playing third, and he, they have sent him down to Scranton. I mean, have they given up on Andujar?
I don't know if they've given up. He didn't help himself. He didn't do a lot with the bat when they brought him up, but there's really not a spot for him either, especially if Void is back, because where's he going to play? It's too bad, too, because he's another. I mean, I remember it was only a couple of years. Well, he had a great rookie year. You talk to anybody in the Yankee organization, they love his bat. And he's been sidetracked with injury and everything else. And now you wonder where he fits in, if he's going to get a chance. You would think if nothing opens up this year, you would think they would have to probably trade him at some point just to for his sake and maybe to get some value before. I mean, he may not bring a lot of value back at this point anyway, but I think at some point you got to go ahead and let him move on.
All right, so the Yankees, they end up sweeping Washington, and now here comes Tampa Bay. And you would like to think, if you're a Yankee fan, that the Yankees are certainly, after sweeping the Crationals, as I call them, John, after the sweep, and winning a few games in a row, and especially doing it in dramatic walk-off style, as they have done twice in a row now, that they're going to take on Tampa Bay feeling a lot better about themselves. Do you think in any way that because Tampa Bay has been so successful against the Yankees that they have gotten under the skin a little bit, gotten into their heads a little bit with the Yankees?
Well, you have to think so until proven otherwise. It definitely got under their skin with some of this stuff with the talk about the throwing at hitters and everything else. Whether it's in their heads about it, whether they can beat them, it looks like it. They just seem to know how to play the Yankees. They're not intimidated. I think because they've played them so many times and they feel like, you know, they have the type of team that can beat the Yankees. Good pitching, good bullpen, and do enough offensively to score runs. So it's fascinating now to see the Yankees are. It seems like they just, you know, got through with the Braves, but now it's a great test because, as you said, they're, you know, the Yankees have started to play well, and so this is the ultimate test for them, at least right now, because the way the Rays have dominated them. And what is the? I missed the Crationals. What did I miss there, Steve?
Well, just as a nemesis for the Metropolitans in the same division, I wonder if the Yankees realized they were helping the Mets out by beating Washington the way they did. But it's just something that I've come up with whenever they have lost a series to the Mets, whenever the Mets have beaten them, if they don't get to where they are supposed to be going into the postseason with their kind of pitching and the kind of hitting that they have had. So we just love it when Washington crashes. So that's where we came up with that one.
I like it, Steve.
Well, let me ask you about Friday night. What was your take with the rodents and the critters and with the possum? Or no, wait, was it a raccoon or was it a rat? What was your take on the whole thing?
Yeah, poor job by Lindor on his part, as far as I'm concerned. That's, you know, I understand he's trying to make light of it, wants to keep it in-house, and that's fine. I think you have every right to keep the details in-house, but it was pretty clear what happened. I think everybody understood it. All you had to do was watch Conforto coming off the field, looking down in there, and just go flying in down the steps to know that there was some serious something or other going on in there. And I don't think that's the way to do it. I mean, this is New York, and you've heard. I think you've heard from you know, the Mets' own GM and from other people around the game. Right. There's a better way to do it. Just admit something went on. You can say something went on. You don't have to give details. Say we got through it. We straightened it out. Whatever. But to sit there and try and tell that story, I don't know if he actually was trying to convince people or he knew it was a joke all along. But I just don't think that's the right way to do it. And I think these days, I mean, I always go back to what guys like David Cohn and said over the years, and even Cashman said, look, especially in New York, the media is going to know what happened. The best thing to do is be upfront about it and let the story moves on much quicker that way. If you try and cover it up in any form, whether it's a joke or not, it kind of tends to make the story even bigger, more of a big deal for the next few days. And I mean, no, I guess no harm was done, especially the fact that Lindor and McNeil have both started swinging the bat better. Maybe they both needed that, but I don't think that had anything to do with the story. I think that had more to do with airing out their differences, because clearly Lindor, and I tweeted about this that night, beyond the story or whatever, the rat story. Remember, back in spring training, Lindor made a point of saying he's not a fan of analytics. He doesn't like the shifts because he thinks the game should be about the players and the athleticism. And basically, in kind of in some ways implying that he wants to be able to roam the shortstop area, let his range and his athleticism play in favor of the team, in favor of the Mets and all that. So you wonder if at some point the Mets are going to have to think about the way they do things in terms of the shift, so he and McNeil aren't running into each other on these type of plays, because it was pretty clear that was the source of whatever happened there down there behind the tunnel.
Yeah, there was some ground ball that Lindor alluded to that he made mention that he should have made a play on. But with the guys in the shift and basically, you know, out of position per se, you know, I could see where that could have been the root of the issue here with the ground ball, and whether Lindor should have played it or whether McNeil should have played it, and both kind of looking at each other. And the next thing we know, it's a single up the middle. So you're pretty much giving credence to that line of thinking, even though we don't know for sure between the two of them, of course, who didn't want to let anyone else know about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was because it happened right after that, right after they came off the field. And it's at least the second time I've seen it where Lindor has been annoyed, because I'm sure he feels like McNeil has kind of gotten in the way of plays that Lindor feels like he could have made. Mm-hmm. And especially in this case, the ball, it wasn't as much up the middle as it was to the shortstop side of second base. And he backed off thinking McNeil was going to make the play, and McNeil backed off. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have to believe that's what started it all. And then I think that's something the Mets are going to need to address, because Lindor, look, the analytics tell him where to shift these guys, where the highest percentage are of their field of ground balls. But maybe they're better off giving Lindor a little bit more room to make the plays there.
Yeah, it could be. And again, I mean, he wants to be the guy, wants to be the leader of the team, the face of the team, the whole thing. You think at this point, and he was 0-26, he was struggling, do you think, number one, some pressure on the contract that he signed? And number two, do you think there's any resentment from any of the other players on the team?
No, I wouldn't think there's resentment. I think these days, well, especially players are usually happy for guys to get their money, and he's acknowledged as a superstar in the game. So generally these guys look at it like, hey, the more one guy gets, the more the next guy's going to get. So I don't think that's an issue, but I don't think there's any doubt he was feeling the pressure. I mean, Steve, you've seen it. How many times have we seen it over the years in New York? Some big free agent comes to town, and you can just see that the weight of the contract, he's feeling the weight of a contract and having to produce for a new team in New York and everything else. I would think it's a little bit easier maybe with you don't have reporters in your face after games because of the COVID restrictions, and you're doing it all by Zoom. But no doubt he was feeling it. He was starting to hear some boos. And you could just you could tell he was out of whack at the plate, talking to scouts and everything else. And I tweeted that as well. Maybe the thing with McNeil actually helped him, because it was his next at bat. He comes up and hits a home run, and maybe at that point he's just, you know, angry or whatever about the whole situation, and he's not going up there as anxious and as overthinking himself as in the batter's box as he had been. Just goes up and lets his talent takes over and sees the ball and hits it. That's all he really needs to do. But, you know, when these guys get in slumps, it's just hard because it's in their heads, and they're not able to slow the game down like they do when they're hot. And finally, the last few days, though, you've seen him start to take better swings. It's really important that he starts hitting for this Mets lineup. I think I wrote about that in a column that's up today on SNY.TV. Scout's thinking the same thing, that once he starts hitting, everybody in that lineup relaxes a little bit more because they're too talented to continue scoring basically three runs a game.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, I'm guessing it's possible, certainly, that with all the craziness from Friday night, that it might be some kind of a turning point. Because as you saw, as we all have all seen, those two started swinging the bats better, and they were really kind of contagious because everyone else over the weekend since Friday night, I mean, seemed to be just with a little bit more energy, a little bit more enthusiasm, and they probably within the team itself probably think from Friday night that it was a joke and maybe it was funny and may have loosened them up in terms of releasing and getting rid of some of the pressure that they had been getting because of playing 500 ball for the most part. And now with the five-game winning streak. So, again, maybe on Friday night, some kind of a turning point. I mean, that, of course, remains to be seen over the course of more than just a weekend amount of games. But I think it could be very much a turning point where the team looks back on the craziness and nuttiness of Friday night.
You could be right, Steve. It's easier, I think, to get a little feel of that, more of a feel of that if when we're in the clubhouse, you're around the players. Maybe you can talk to guys privately or whatever. We can't do that these days, so it's harder to get a feel for that. But the other thing is, don't forget, it's not like they were mashing the ball. I mean, Lindor and McNeil had some big hits, but it was still mostly about the pitching over the weekend, and the bullpen's been the surprise of the year for me. Right. Bullpen's been shutting teams down. Statistically, the best bullpen in baseball for the last three or so weeks. And that's mostly still why they're winning. I mean, it's amazing. I think their record when they score four runs, I think it's 14-2 now. So it's been about the pitching, but I do think the offense is coming. They're too talented not to hit more. But you might be right, though. They might still look back at that as a turning point one way or the other.
And Conforto, by the way, and that was some catch with the vertical leap in right field to make just a terrific catch. And he's been swinging the bat better because, as you know, for so long, his elbow guard was leading the team in RBIs. So the bottom line is it's nice to see him, of course, raking and squaring up and getting some key hits for the Metropolitans. And you're right about that with the bullpen, by the way. How about Diaz? You have to be a little bit surprised with him. I mean, he's had some moments. He still can be a little bit scary. But what is it now? Twice with five out saves. So he seems to be getting the job done for the most part.
Yeah, and that's probably the most crucial guy out there. He's got to get it done for them. And yeah, their bullpen was short on Sunday, and able to bring him in for a five out save was vital. And seeing him get it done, yeah, I mean, he's the key guy. He, as you said, he's had some moments. Conforto threw a guy out at second base for him starting that inning the other night, which helped a lot. I guess I still need to see more because he just seems to at times lose the plate a little bit like Familia. Not sure if he knows exactly where it's going, but he's got such great stuff, and he does look more confident now, which I think is the key, because you can't convince me that 2 years ago he just wasn't a little bit overwhelmed by coming to New York and having to be the closer with the full house at Citi Field and everything else and struggling at times. So I think he's on the right track, and he's got a lot more help around him, which is, I mean, bullpens are – it's all about bullpens these days in baseball, it seems like. Sometimes it varies from year to year how some of these guys go, but it's a good indication that the Mets are going to have a lot of success in the late innings, especially since you're going to get Lugo back at some point, and he's been great in the bullpen when he's been out there.
And your take on Familia. Familia has been getting more outs than some of us thought he would.
He has, and he's looked better. he's got such great stuff. It's but they did. I know they made an adjustment with him in terms of getting more vertical drop on his sinker, where last year it was more going side to side, and that was a problem. But he's got great. He's throwing that thing, you know, 97 miles an hour with sink, and it's just a matter of throwing strikes. And if he can do that, he's going to get out. He's going to be successful, but he loses the plate. At least in the last couple of years, he's really started to lose the plate too much and can't be trusted in big spots. But it looks like maybe he's figuring it out. He's probably going to start the way he's going. He's going to get used in more high leverage spots. I mean, that one game, it was huge when he came in and struck out Bryce Harper to end the game after Diaz had to come out and he'd given up the double to Hoskins and everything else. But yeah, Familia, he's got the stuff. It's just a matter of throwing strikes. And May looks like he's rock solid in that eighth inning too. So good pickup by the Mets. Castro looks pretty good. So a lot more depth than they've had in recent years in that pen.
And Loop and May have been certainly good enough to make their presence felt and to help the Mets. Coming out of that bullpen. And what was it, Hunter? I guess we could say he was really an opener for a bullpen game. And he was, what was his comment after the game? I threw two innings of no-hit ball. Of course I wanted to come out for the third inning. But he got the bullpen off to a good start. And, and I would say outside of Gazelman, who's a little bit scary, John, but for the most part, as you point out, the bullpen has been really, which was at one point a major concern, not so as we speak right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Hunter did a nice job as that opener. And then, you know, to hear him talk after the game is kind of another point that maybe hasn't gotten as much attention as it should. I know McCann hasn't hit much at all, but he's a real presence behind the plate that Hunter was raving about the way he was helping him and working with him and calling the game and everything else. These pitchers love throwing to McCann. He's got a real good feel from everybody you talk to from his previous teams and the way he handles pitchers. He's a take charge guy behind the plate on top of everything in these pitchers' faces in a good way. And I think that's something that this team has lacked in recent years, and it's really important. So, I mean, you expect or you want McCann to start hitting more because you're paying him pretty big money, $40 million a year for 4 years. But that presence behind the plate is really important.
Oh, there's no question. Can you give us, before we let you go, John, can you give us any kind of an update with Syndergaard, where he is at right now, and also Seth Lugo?
Syndergaard got the okay, I believe I heard that. He's got the okay to start a rehab assignment pretty soon. So the Mets said that you can expect him sometime. If all goes well, he should be back early to mid-June. Lugo, I think, is a little bit behind that. But I think both those guys are on that same track. I think, if anything, the guy you're a little bit more concerned about is Carrasco at this point, because they had to basically slow his recovery down. They put him on that 60-day IL because the hamstring at some point, and they were talking like he was close to coming back, and then the hamstring wasn't responding, so they put him on the 60-day, which means he can't come back until the end of May. So that's a concern, because no, when those injuries linger, even for pitchers, that's a problem. So, and Carrasco's not a kid anymore. You want to see him back. And because you put him in that rotation and Syndergaard, I mean, this could be the best and deepest rotation in the National League for sure.
Sure. And also Villar and Pilar, those two, they have contributed. They are terrific backups, that's for sure. And also they strengthen the bench. So certainly Metropolitan fans have to be pleased with those two, because they have made major contributions so far.
Yeah, I think this team's in pretty good shape, especially I wrote about kind of the state of the NL East today. It doesn't look like there's another team that's going to have the capability of being dominant. You thought the Braves might be, but they've got some pitching issues. So it's right there for the Mets. They're in first place. what is it, 16 and 13 off this five-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. And when you consider they haven't really hit at all, I mean, that's a pretty good place to be when you figure the offense is going to get rolling at some point. The pitching's been better than expected. So the division's wide open for them. And I think Mets fans have every reason to be encouraged, because this team just, it's especially, you can see signs from Lindor. You have to believe they're going to hit. And when they do start doing that, I think they have a great chance of winning this division now.
Yes, I think so. And it's up for grabs as we speak right now. And Dominic Smith could certainly help the Metropolitan cause, John, if he gets back on track with his offense, because obviously he's going through some tough times here.
Yeah, that's been curious, because he was such a great hitter last year, and he's such a natural hitter. But he's had a lot of trouble with the off-speed stuff so far. And it seems like the pitcher's going to make him prove that he can hit it, because he's seen a lot of breaking stuff, and he hasn't been able to lay off the stuff down and in, especially from right-handers. So I think it's maybe a matter of maybe adjusting, starting to look for some of those pitches at times, depending on the count. But, I mean, everybody you talk to thinks he's another guy. He's just too good a hitter, as he's shown in the last couple of years, to not get hot and get it going. So I don't think there's huge concern about him right now, even though he's not going well.
And maybe a concern with Nemo when he gets back. And he was, to me, certainly, and I'm sure you as well to some degree, what a pleasant surprise with him not only getting on base and his hustling, but driving the ball for two bases here and two bases there, and getting a base hit and an RBI and scoring a run. And and again, with all the hustle on every base on balls he's going to receive. And getting him back is going to be helping, you would like to think, the offense as well, as long as he continues. When he does come back, hitting the same way he was and getting on base the same way he was at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah, their two best hitters early in the year are both hurt, Nemo and J.D. Davis. So that's right. Something to look forward to as well. Nemo, you're right. It was looking like he was almost like taking that next step to maybe being a star-level player. He's been solid. You know, he's been the great on-base guy. Not a great center fielder. They got him playing deeper now, so he won't have the problems that he had last year, maybe tracking balls over his head. But he, he's going to get on base. And you're right. He was looking like he was turning into that guy who could really drive the ball and hit for an average as well as get on base. But he's had injuries throughout his career that have kind of slowed him down at times. So you still need to see him do it over the long haul, but you're right. To your point earlier, they have so much more depth now. Guys coming off the bench that they can fill in. This team's never had this kind of depth in recent years, and it's already proven to be crucial with some of the injuries.
And it has to be a concern, even though the MRI is clean and everything is together with Jacob DeGrom, when you talk about bones and ligaments and tendons and everything going on. But the lower back, the tightness on the right side, I'm sure that you would agree that the Metropolitans absolutely, without question, did the right thing by putting him on the 10-day IL. And if everything goes according to plan, he would miss maybe only one start and be able to pitch at the end of the month on the 31st against Miami. At least that's the hope.
Yeah, no doubt. They needed to put him on the IL. They got to be extra cautious here. Again, I think the division plays into it a little bit. They're going to have time. They can have the time to be cautious with him, because nobody's going to run away with this thing. So it's important that they'd be sure he's ready when he goes out there, because he didn't pitch for 10 days, and he went out there and the side or whatever it is, whether it's related to the lat now or not, maybe it's not, but whatever it is, it's bothering him. It popped up right away. So it seems like he's going to need some time, and now's the time to take it to make sure he's ready and he gets over this thing, because you don't want it to linger, obviously. That I talked about how encouraged Mets fans should be, but it all starts with DeGrom. I mean, they're not winning anything without DeGrom, so yeah. Extra cautious now. Hopefully that will lead to better days ahead.
John Harper of SNY and everything that is audio and video and print. Can't thank you enough for giving us the time on this Monday night. Do take care of yourself, John, and I look forward to the next time.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always great talking to you.
You got it. All right, John Harper.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.